You were listening to Dawn is a Feeling from the Moody Blues from their 60s album Days of Future Past. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for the Sound Health Show on BBS Radio for the next hour. And I'm delighted you could join us for a bit of conversation designed to provide options and information for self-health. The name of this show, Self-Health, is actually a play on words. Sound health as in sturdy and stable and foundational health, and sound health as in health associated with sound frequencies, music, song, all that stuff. Many of you have written and asked that I explain what I do as a director of research in Ohio, and I'd like to direct you to our website so that you can look at that for yourself and we not take up valuable time on the radio, because we have a great show planned for you. So if you would go to www.vocalprofiling.com, and on the opening page on the left side, there's a short video. It's about 3 minutes, and it's entitled Good Vibrations. It was done by Steve Williams, and he is a film student, I think, in Utah. He did about a half-hour show on music and sound and healing, and he did a great part of that show, about a third of it, on bioacoustics and sound health and using sound to heal. This is of a little girl that we got when she was about 13, 14 years old. She was a referral from a doctor, and she just had a failure to thrive. She was getting D's and F's and failing everything and had no energy. And that was several years ago, but the film is still pertinent because it shows the whole technique of what we do there at the research center. And Nicole, the little girl's name, actually started college on a scholarship last fall. So we are really proud of what we did with her and proud of her and what she got accomplished. The song that we were playing at the beginning of the show, Dawn is a Feeling, has lines like, you're not asleep, open your mind. And that's what we're going to ask you to do on the show tonight. We're going to ask you to challenge the present healthcare system, challenge the government for not protecting us, challenge the drug companies for not taking enough care with what we're being offered as consumers, challenge our elected officials to make healthcare a priority over profits. Boy, that's going to be a big one. There's not going to be a change unless we, the consumer, the people, demand it. And we have a great guest this evening that has challenged the medical establishment at great sacrifice to herself and to her career. Her name is Liz Lonergan. She's a proprietor of a center in the Chicago area called the Center for Body and Soul in Palos Heights. That's, like I said, near the Chicago area, but Liz can tell us more about that. She is an RN, a registered nurse, and a certified massage therapist. She's worked many years in hospitals, and I think you're going to want to stay tuned to learn about why she left the conventional medical setting. And Liz is one of those people who's making a difference on our planet, and you won't believe much of what she's going to share with you. We'll bring her on in just a few minutes. But as usual, we have a few announcements. One, BBS Radio has a new phone number. It's international now, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And for those of you who are tying up your phone listening to the show, you can get in touch with us through soundhealth@soundhealth.org. Announcement number two, we're receiving some very interesting emails. I especially like the one from Betty Hightower. She said some very nice things about us, and we'd like to hear more of that. Last week, I guess this is the second and third announcement, last week we were challenging you about who do you trust and by what criteria do you consider yourself success. Well, we got an email from WT from Montana, and he wants to challenge all of you by having us take a poll. He wants to know which of the following you would choose if you could be granted one wish. One, immortality. Two, an unlimited checking account. That means you could write any check you want and it would be covered. Or three, guaranteed good health for as long as you live, but you would be required to pick a day of death. Whoa. Announcement, I guess this is four. We had Ralph Fusatola, the vitamin lawyer, on a few weeks back, and he talked about the new laws that are being dumped on us, about our rights to nutrition and our rights to good health. He's in Canada this weekend, helping wage an international battle for health rights, and we may hear from him later on in the show, because we've asked him for an update. Reminder again, if you're going to email us about anything about what's going on the show or questions, we ask you to put your question at the top, because some of these emails have been very long and I'm having trouble filtering through them while I'm on the air. Well, on to our guest this evening. She is Liz Lonergan, RN, CMT, that's Certified Massage Therapist, and I'm going to add something else to her repertoire. Energy Behaviorist. I like that term. She is also a BARA, which means she's a Bioacoustic Research Associate. And she has a center in Illinois where they offer anything from belly dancing to lymph draining massage. I guess belly dancing really is a form of lymph draining massage. Okay, so belly dancing to sound therapy to yoga, exercise, nutrition. You can jump on her website and look at more. It's www.ubewell, that's YOUBEWELL.com. And her phone number there is 708-448-2221. So jot those down, because I know you'll want to know more about her center and maybe even go visit. I'd like to read a quote from her website. The center is dedicated to, quote, promoting self-love and self-responsibility as we move towards becoming more complete human beings, end quote. That is great and fits into our show so much. Liz, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I can barely hear you, Liz. Don, can you up the volume or something here? Or maybe I'll just listen really, really careful. Liz, can you tell us a bit about your background?
Well, I'm trained as an RN originally, but I started back in the 70s learning to chant and meditate with Ram Dass, and I lived with a community of herbalists and started training in natural medicine back then. But when I started having kids, looked for something a little more responsible to do, so I went into nursing. I was a surgical nurse for 15 years at a Southside hospital here. And one day, my light bulb started to come on, and I realized that traditional medicine wasn't helping people to heal as well as I thought they could.
Well, let's talk about this word you just used, traditional medicine, conventional medicine. Conventional medicine most people describe as hospitals and drugs and that kind of thing. And traditional medicine, they're reserving for herbs and acupuncture and Chinese medicine and that kind of thing. So you worked in a hospital, so we would call that conventional medicine?
Yeah, sorry, my language hasn't caught up with me.
Well, most people think that traditional medicine is what we see in the hospitals today, but when you really go look at the background, traditional means things that come from our tradition, and that's like herbs and all things you've been involved with. So you've been on both sides of the fence.
Absolutely.
Can you speak a little louder?
Actually, I'm talking real loud. I'm having a hard time hearing you, too.
I don't know if Don's on here, if he's listening, if he can do anything about this.
I am listening.
Can you tell us a bit about your center and why you started it?
Hello? How's that?
Hello?
Hello? Okay. I had a small practice and found myself really drawn to sound health and healing. My first private practice was in massage therapy, and I realized that healing the body isn't the be-all, end-all, and that energy work and helping people to see that there are other things out there was a real draw for me. And I found one of your very, very early tapes, and the very first time I heard it, I started crying because I realized that that was how we were really supposed to heal each other, with sound. So I came down to Ohio, took the training, and life has just blossomed since then. I expanded the practice 5 years ago, and now we have a beautiful center, and now I've forgotten what the question was.
Tell me about your center and why you started it. The center is gorgeous. I looked at some of the pictures on your website. It looks very homey.
It is.
Did you just not want to practice conventional medicine anymore?
Yeah, you know, with as many doctor referrals as I have in my clientele, I found that a lot of people were really tired of the sterile environment that they find in the clinical conventional setting. So when I had the opportunity to get this home on a busy street, it was really heaven sent. And we've kept it a home environment. There's a front room and a kitchen, and the bedrooms have been converted to our treatment rooms, and it's very comfortable. People walk in and you hear the audible sighs, like they've come home.
But did you start this because you felt people had a need to have that kind of environment, or did you have dissatisfaction of practicing conventional medicine?
Both. You know, we traditionally, as you said earlier, we do most of our healing in our home. So it's really important that we kept that home environment. And I think people feel safe to open themselves up like they would with family while they're there. And even amongst our clients, we find them sharing with each other and helping each other to heal as much as we try to help them and guide them. So it's very much like a home environment that way.
You said you have clinical services and treatment. What all do you offer?
Well, we have several forms of massage therapy. We have the massage therapy that everybody's pretty much familiar with nowadays, which is muscle therapy, and that's sports massage to relaxation. We teach people how to breathe for pain management and use creative visualization and meditation techniques. We do manual lymph drainage, which is for me, primarily, post-cancer treatment helps to reduce the swelling and promote circulation in the lymphatic system. We do, of course, sound therapy. We do some work with enzymes and nutritional guidance. And we also have a lot of different movement therapies, yoga, Pilates, belly dancing, as you mentioned, and meditation classes. And then every so often, I like to do a lecture series on just informing people. If some people don't even know what stress is and what it looks like and how it appears in their life, and so I help them to get a grip on that and ways to deal with it, and on all levels, chemical, physical, emotional, mechanical. So,
do you do your services as like a teaching thing or like an exercise class or both?
The massage services?
Well, maybe somebody wants to come and learn belly dancing. Do you just kind of do belly dancing as an exercise, or do you train people to go out and be belly dancers?
Both, actually. Our belly dance instructor, another one of those quote-unquote coincidences in life, is also certified. She has her degree from DePaul University in women's spiritual studies. So she approaches dance in general on many levels, spiritual as well as physical. And so she teaches women to get physically fit, to get back in touch with their bodies, as well as to go out and feel comfortable in public, whether they're performing or dancing with a partner or group of friends.
With people who have something they want to teach, could they come to your center and teach, or do you just pick people and certain kinds of services you want there?
It's kind of been a little bit of both. Sometimes people come and they have an idea of something that they'd like to share with other people, and if it feels like it fits into our nurturing environment, then we always give it an opportunity, of course. I try not to do anything that might put people off, so we try to stay out of the more religious, or as my husband calls it, woo-woo areas. but we try to find people and services and classes and education that is nurturing on both sides, so that the people that are teaching it are growing and the people that are learning are growing. And a lot of times our students become teachers. So it's very interesting the way the whole dynamic works over there.
We have an email from ST in New York. Sounds like a guy here.
Pardon?
Sounds like a great place. Can people come and study with you about how to start their own center or just hang out?
Yeah, actually, I do mentor student groups. They come from the local massage schools or community college, and they'll interview us and see how we work and get some ideas for when they may at one point want to start their own practice. So I'm always open to that, because as an old friend of mine used to say, there's no point in reinventing the wheel. So if you can get help from somebody that's already done it, that's always a plus.
Do you do lectures? Like, are you available to come and speak to schools or groups or any kind of people that want to know about your service? Weight Watchers?
Yeah, I've talked to several support groups in the area. I've also gone out to schools. I've gone to hospitals and educated doctors about some of the different services that we offer that are more pertinent to what they're doing. And, yeah, I love to do that kind of stuff.
You guys have been there, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, 5 years in this location and 5 years in a very, very small office down the street.
When you first started and you had your own practice, were you in with some other doctor or something?
Yeah, I originally planned to partner with an MD who was referring a lot of clients to me at the hospital that I was working at. But and he was trying to grow more into conventional medicine at the time as well, and found himself being ousted by his own colleagues and lost his position at the hospital and moved quite a ways north from where we were at, so he wasn't able to stay with it. So I don't know what he's doing right now.
What kind of clientele do you have? There's people who want to get there. You said you have referrals from doctors. Do you have, like, referrals from doctors who don't know how to treat somebody, or they're stumped, or just because they like what you do, or what?
Sure, it's a little bit of both. I think a lot of times the doctors that refer to me know me from working with me for years, and trust my professionalism and integrity, and their clients, or their patients rather, have asked them, is there something other that I can do, something that's not medicine or not surgery? And so that's where a lot of that referral base stems from.
Was there anyone thing that made you turn away from conventional medicine, like some personal experience or any one thing that made you want to move from being a part of someone else's practice to you have to start the center, you have to serve the people, you have to help in some way?
Right. I kind of think it was something that was always part of my destiny. That doesn't sound too corny. I knew that someday I would have to do it, but the catalyst was I was getting ready to bring a very, very sick person into the operating room, and their family asked if I would join them in a brief prayer before I took this person in, and I said, of course, you know. So I joined hands with them. The prayer took all of about 10 seconds, and afterwards I reaped a world of grief from my superiors for, you know, stepping over my boundaries, and, you know, I didn't work on the pastoral care team, and that wasn't my job description, and I just thought for, first of all, a Catholic hospital, which is where I was, and a healing institution, to create that much of a mess over politics was a real sign from the universe for me to move on.
What did they say that was going to hurt?
Oh, I was delaying the schedule, and I wasn't qualified, you know, professionally qualified to pray with people.
So you can't pray from your heart. You have to learn it in a classroom?
Evidently.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We have some questions here, like 20 questions. It's right after the other. From a Sharon, about what does it take to get a center started? Financially, what's it take? We could take these one at a time. There's about 10 of them. But what did it take to move from working for someone else to just standing on your own and getting your own started?
A leap of faith. Everything in the universe has a time and a rhythm to it, and I think that it's our job as humans on this planet to be aware of that rhythm and how that's working in our lives. And at the time for me, the rhythm was perfect. Everything fell into place, and you know, when I originally applied at the bank for the loan to get the building, I had nothing to show for it. I was a terrible bookkeeper in my sole proprietorship business, and I really didn't have anything to show other than a promise of this dream that I had and the willingness to work at it. And I was very fortunate that I had a like soul who somehow managed to get my application at the bank and realized that that I was willing to make it happen. And so everything got approved, and you know, the real estate in the bank, and just everything happened magically almost. It was meant to be. So I think finding the right people to work with you financially it's a must. You must have somebody that understands your dream and your willingness to work at it.
Did you have to have this big, elaborate business plan and five-year pro forma and all that, or did you just go in there and, from your gut, explain what you wanted?
I went in with my gut. Actually, I tried for about 2 years to form a business plan, and everything that I wrote down seemed too rigid. And, like, I thought if I got trapped into that, I wouldn't have the flexibility that I would need to flow with the growth of whatever this vision of mine became. So when I went to the bank, I really spoke from my heart and told them, sorry, I don't have a business plan, and I've tried, but I really can't even formulate a business plan because it's a living, breathing entity, and it's going to grow, and I can't lock it into a piece of paper.
So you just took your stuff from inside and asked these people to trust in you, and you just threw away every business form it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And you made a success of it.
Yeah.
What issues or problems did you encounter? And I'm reading from an email here.
I think one of our one of my personal biggest problems was in trying to reduce some of the costs, because we had to do a little bit of build out inside of the physical space, was having friends and family do the work instead of contracting outside help. So, you know, sometimes family can, you know, in their own personal dramas, kind of slow things down a little bit. And so I felt that I would do that differently if I did it again. But other than that, that's the only real problem that we encountered.
Well, listen to these questions, and then we'll go back and answer them. Can anyone start a center? Do you need a license to start a health center? Is there laws against practicing medicine without a license? Do you still have your RN license? What do your colleagues think? Do you work with doctors?
Huh. Oh, my God.
Okay, let's go back to, can anyone start a center, and just really, how do you start?
I think that my being a registered nurse is a big plus. I don't know that anybody could start a center. I think a lot of people can go into private practice doing alternative and traditional medicine, but they have to be willing to work at it. And I don't practice medicine. I do work with physicians on their referrals, and also a lot of my clients are self-referred, so I don't have to get involved as much with the conventional medicine with them. But I think it's important to keep your boundaries clear when you set up a practice. You have to decide which pond you're going to keep your feet in. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
I don't think that you can pretend to be diagnosing and curing and doing medical things while you're doing traditional things, because the body works in a rhythm, and all we're doing is to help to restore balance naturally. So that's not anything medical. So I wouldn't call the practice medical, and I don't think that... I think that if somebody has that understanding, they won't have a problem at all.
So would you suggest that people who really have this in their heart to start a center for their community, that they start working with someone else first and sort of see what it's like?
I think that's individual, Cher. You know, I got a little bit of Leo in me, and so it was better for me to start out on my own and keep my door open for the people that I needed to be with me to come in. But for me, getting started on my own was better. For some people, partnership is better. So I think that's individual.
Well, you made the statement, work at it. What do you mean by that?
It's a lot of work. I've been... when I worked at the hospital, I worked 40 hours a week, which was sometimes, you know, 30 hours a week, because you have slow days, they send you home. And since I started my own place, I work probably 60 to 80 hours a week. And so I'm there from like 10 to 11 every day, Monday through Saturday. And then on Sundays, I go in and I clean house. So it's a lot of work. You know, you have to be really dedicated. But I think that the energy to do that comes from doing what's in your heart. When you do something that you love, it's not work. You're doing it because you enjoy it, and it's love labor. You know, it's fun, it's exciting, and it's like helping your children grow up. So it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work.
Do you need a license? That was one of the other question.
Well, you know what? That's individual. Every town or borough or whatever has their own rules about that. And the town that we're in, it's a straightforward business license. And that's $75 a year, I think, in Payless. And that's all it takes. Now, the city of Chicago, however, you have to have the full battery of blood tests, and they check your criminal background, and they do all this other stuff, and it's $1,000 a year for the license. So, every town is different for the business license part of it. Now, we're, I have my state of Illinois nurse's license, plus I'm nationally certified in massage therapy, and so is everybody that works there. Plus now Illinois just became professionally licensed for massage therapists, so we're all licensed, and that's pretty much what the licensing is for us.
Yeah, I have some questions here about support staff. Do you actually hire people? I'm trying to read up a lot of stuff here. Do you hire the clinicians that work with you, or are you all part of a group? Just a group of people?
Actually, we're kind of a utopian society. We're completely democratic. Everybody is an independent contractor, except for myself and Ricky. We're the only employees. Rick is also a massage therapist. He's been with me for about 7 years now, and he puts in as many hours as I do, so that's why he's an employee by choice. But we all work together. We all sit down once a week and powwow about changes that we have to make or things that we'd like to see done. Right now we're powwowing about changing some of the colors in some of the rooms, so, you know, it's really nice, and it works, like I said earlier, like a family. You know, everybody has an input and everybody works together. We all do chores. You know, one person will clean the bathroom, somebody else will be in charge of the laundry, somebody else is sweeping up the classroom and cleaning the yoga mats, and so it's really nice that way.
But do you think that one support staff is enough for administration if everybody pitches in?
One support staff.
Can't really answer that one.
I really don't know. You know, Ricky and I kind of tag team keeping the books and keeping the schedules organized, and I think most of the administrative stuff that involves having to deal with accountants in the bank and stuff like that. I guess it depends on how much you're willing to put into it.
That's a couple of the other questions here about license. Do each of your practitioners have contracts? Do you take insurance? How do you track clientele? Let's just start. Do you take insurance?
No. I tried that for a while and wound up writing off, I think, $22,000 one year because insurance companies don't pay, third-party providers as well as doctors and people that are more used to dealing with. So,
do they try to dictate how much
anymore,
you charge?
But for the people that are medically referred, I do have a small computer program that will give them a receipt with their code, their diagnosis code from their doctor, and their procedure code, and they can submit that to their insurance company for reimbursement. And that's worked out pretty good. Most people who have insurance that'll cover any kind of alternative medicine, you get 60 to 80% reimbursement.
Well, for people who are wanting to start their own center, then you wouldn't recommend they take insurance?
Not unless they're used to dealing with it. And I thought that I might have a handle on it from working in the hospital all those years, but it's a paperwork nightmare.
Tough. Do the insurance companies try to dictate how much you can charge? I know they do in Ohio. It's just
absolutely, yeah. They set what's called usual and customary price ranges, and so, you know, you might be doing a service for an hour and a half on somebody, and yet they say that, you know, 40 minutes should be enough to cover it, and so that's what they're going to pay you for. So, yeah.
That's a thought for another show. How did they get that power? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But well, I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm trying to help people grow into a concept of self-care. And a lot of times, that's just getting your head around it's not bad for you if it's not covered by insurance. And
that's
sometimes,
a biggie.
You know, like your car maintenance and repair isn't covered by your auto insurance, yet if your car needs it, you go and get that done. And so I try to explain to people about things like diet, nutrition, and your movement classes like yoga and things like that. No, they're not covered by your insurance, but it is something that your vehicle needs. So are you willing to pay to keep your vehicle up out of pocket, or wait until you get a bad accident and get it covered by your insurance?
That's a very good analogy. A couple other kind of practical questions here. Do you have to have contracts with each of the people who work with you?
Personally, I don't like contracts. I think that's, I think it's demeaning for everybody to have contracts, and especially in our environment because we're a family, and I don't have contracts with my kids. Or my husband. I guess I have a marriage license, but that's not actually a contract. But we trust each other to work together, and nobody feels that they're held there. If they feel like they've grown beyond or they want to do something different, there's nothing holding them back. They can go and do whatever they want, and that has kept most people really true to wanting to stay and put their all into it. You know, a lot of the massage therapists in the area have come up with these no-compete clauses, which is kind of crazy. That's something that doctors do to each other. And that means that if you should leave the practice, that within, you know, depending on what the contract says, you can't practice within, a 10-mile radius. Well, you know, if you live down the street from where you were just working and now you have to go 10 miles away to work, it's not fair, and it just seems like it's a bad way to treat people.
I'm going to send this email on to you, but here's three questions. Are taxes a nightmare? Do you have to have an accountant to have a center? What's your split with your clinicians? That's probably not something we want to talk about on the air, but certainly something you have to consider if you're going to be running a business.
Absolutely.
Who does your taxes?
Number one, interview a bunch of accountants before you hire one. My first accountant was a nightmare, and I didn't know it until I got a new accountant who was suggested by this very open-minded person that worked with me at the bank. They took a look at our books, you know, when they were deciding on giving us the loan, and he said, "Boy, you need another accountant." And I said, "What do you mean?" And it turns out that the accountant that I had things so messed up that we had to go back 3 years on our personal and business taxes and get that all audited and redone. And we had paid taxes that we didn't have to pay, and I think we wound up getting almost $10,000 back, which was amazing. But, you know, then you got to fire the accountant, which for me is hard. But, so definitely interview accountants, and, you know, I keep the books for the entire year, and at the end of the year, they wrap everything up and get it ready for taxes, so I do think an accountant is a valuable asset to the business. And if you have a good one, they'll teach you how to do most of it yourself so that you feel more independent that way.
One of the things we look for here, too, is an accountant that's bonded.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do mess up, then they've got insurance against that.
Yeah, and I'm not positive, but I think in Illinois that might be a law. That
they
everybody
have to
has to be bonded.
So a CPA, then, you would recommend to people?
Yeah.
What other kind of professional services do you use? Do you need a lawyer?
We haven't needed a lawyer. the closing and everything was pretty cut and dry on the business, and then, you know, we've never had any trouble or anything. Actually, I take that back. I did have to call in a favor from a lawyer who is a client. We were getting hassled by the village about having to put in a sidewalk, and he pointed out that that ordinance didn't apply to us, to the village's lawyer. So I did. It was just a phone call lawyer thing, but it was handy.
Well, do you have like a bevy of professionals that you refer people to, or probably it's in your case it's more they refer people to you? Like in our center, we have a chiropractor and a massage therapist and a couple doctors. That if people come in the door and we see they need that kind of support, we'll refer them out. Do you suggest that people have that kind of support services in their community?
Absolutely. A database is so helpful. And we have a huge database. We refer people out all the time. We're not shy about it, and we don't consider ourselves superhuman or anything. So if somebody has an issue that legally, morally, just common sense wise, we couldn't deal with, we will refer them. And we have doctors, psychologists, chiropractors, we have other body workers that we refer people out to in the areas that we don't cover. Like, we don't have a cranial sacral therapist, so there's a fellow down the street from us who's fabulous, and we refer to him all the time. We refer to acupuncturists because we don't have one on staff right now. And the best way to do that is go out and seek out those services for yourself. And if you find somebody that you trust and you feel is trustworthy and has a good business practice, you know, keep their information so that you have that referral information for people in the future. And people respect that. I think you are trusted much more by your clientele if you're honest with them and say, I can't really help you with that, but I know somebody who I trust who can.
How do you attract your customers, your clientele?
Believe it or not, other than doctor referrals, everything has been word of mouth so far.
Well, your website's wonderful. Is that bringing clientele to you?
Some. I think most of our visitors to our website to date have kind of been our clients that are there now. They're always looking to see what, you know, what current classes are happening, if we're having any special events and stuff like that. Because we haven't really advertised it. I'm really bad at advertising. We have one little line in the directory of the Yoga Chicago so that people know that we also offer yoga classes. But other than that, we don't do too much advertising. It's kind of a hit or miss thing, you know. And I think, again, with the trust issue, if somebody has been there and says, you'll be safe there, then people are willing to go. So once in a while we get a phone book or a website referral, but most of it's been word of mouth.
I've seen a picture of something you have setting in your front yard. Is that helpful?
Pardon?
A big sign?
Oh, we have a sign. Yeah, it's a pretty busy street.
Is that where you put all the listings for your classes and that kind of thing?
Well, we put out on the sign when it's time to sign up for classes, which is every 8 weeks. They run for 8 week sessions, so we'll put out there that it's time to sign up for yoga, Pilates, belly dancing, etc. And then, like right now, we're having a spring cleaning sale, and we're selling some file cabinets and books and stuff, so we've got that out on the sign. And that's been really helpful. One of these days, and I keep telling myself, and Ricky and I talk about this, we have to put on the sign, don't be afraid, come on in. Because people will come in and they'll say, I've been driving by here for 3 years and I've always wanted to come in, but I was afraid. So I'm going to put that on the sign one of these days.
We've got another email from Gary in New Jersey. I've been looking at your website is the sound therapy you offer like music therapy? Do I need to have musical talent? I can barely thump a drum. What kind of sound therapies do you do?
Well, the sound therapy that I do in particular, you are most familiar with, ma'am.
Yes. You said the
I would
of the
not
show.
Call it musical by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, do you do drumming there?
Pardon?
Do you do drumming?
We do drumming, yeah.
That may be what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about the bioacoustics, because you said at the front of the show that you had heard a tape of mine, probably something from New Dimensions or
Wisdom
Radio
New
or one
tape.
Of those.
It was a cassette, and I sat actually on my break at the hospital because a friend of mine had given it to me, and I listened to it and I cried, and I said, we have to go down there and learn how to do this. We have to go meet this woman, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And he agreed. I think he got there before I did, but I came shortly afterwards.
Was it something that was unfamiliar with you as a healer, even traditional or conventional?
Pardon me?
The bioacoustics that you're talking about, and
mm-hmm.
you said you cried. Do you know why?
I cried?
You said you cried when you heard the tape.
I cried because I think it touched a part of my soul that was very familiar with what you were talking about.
And you are very good at bioacoustics. I've heard some of the stories at our annual conferences. Can you talk about, your knee case, the case where you helped reconstruct this athlete's knee. Can you talk about that?
That was the first really big case that I had, I guess. He was a football player and had a bad injury. He really tore his knee up badly, and he was close to the end of the year, and they told him he would be off for the whole next year, and it would delay his graduation, and he had a torn ACL and a medial and lateral collateral ligament, and meniscus was all torn. And that's a pretty bad injury. And
for
when
those
he came,
of us
he was
don't know
still...
what that means, that's just all the stuff that holds his knee in place?
Absolutely. That's all like the tension cables that hold the bottom of your leg to the top of your leg. And So he was looking at a lot of surgery and a really long recovery, and for an athlete and somebody who's just getting ready to graduate, that was unacceptable. So his girlfriend had heard about your work, and I believe found us through your office or your website. And he came down, and I out of instinct, I guess, worked with what I know best, which is muscles and connective tissue. And so I did his voice print and found muscles that were weak, and a few of the biochemicals that I was aware of that had to do with inflammation, and tried some sounds on him. And within, I think it was 3 weeks, he was walking on it. And within 3 months, he was completely healed. And the doctors who did his MRIs said they must have looked at somebody else's MRIs first.
So that's really unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, it was phenomenal. But it's not unusual.
With the sound therapy, the bioacoustics that you do, do you kind of specialize in muscle stuff?
That's what I really enjoy the most. But I do have, I think I'm a little bit, I don't want to use the word empathic because that's kind of mushy, but people want to tell me their stories. So a lot of times I work real well with emotional issues too. So I guess I'm kind of doing everything with it.
Are you working with pathogens too?
Pardon?
Pathogens? You're getting rid of pathogens with sound?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I had an opportunity to get rid of my own a couple weeks ago. I had a real bad sinus infection, and for the first week of it, couldn't even think enough because of the pressure to know that I had this wonderful tool available to me. But as soon as I started thinking again, I realized, oh, I have to get into the office and get a voice print in. So I had three pathogens show up and put the tones on that I needed to clear those up, and within 3 days, I was better. So it took a while for my voice to clear up, but but pain and pressure and all that was gone.
Bioacoustics is so new that a lot of the times it takes people a while to trust it until it happens to them.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I find a lot of times, sometimes somebody will come into the office and say, you know, oh, I've got this, or, and I'll say, oh, come here, let me get a voice print on you, and they'll say, what? And I don't even give them time to think about it, and I've got a voice print, and I'll tell them, oh, my gosh, would you look at this? And I show them their report, and they'll say, oh, I knew that's what it was, and I put a sound on for them, and within, you know, a short amount of time, they're saying, oh, okay, that's all gone now.
So many people are complaining about what's going on with our health system that not many people are offering options. And I think bioacoustics is an option that someone can do on their own, because we have these computer programs that will allow them now to take their own voice print. Or they can come to you and get their voice print, and they can come to you and learn how to use these programs so they can take a voice print and see what their nutrition is, what pathogens they might have been exposed to. So this is a whole movement, since we really can't trust the government or the drug companies, or, you know, I even have a hard time trusting some of the doctors and papers that I see put out. I have a friend who's an MD at the local teaching hospital here, and she came to me one day, and now this is a physician, and she said she had just been approached by a drug company, and they had done a study, and they offered her $25,000 to put her name on the paper. She had not done the paper, but they wanted it to be put out by a physician. So they were offering her money, and they knew she needed to be published for tenure. And she was just stomping mad.
Yeah.
And I think it's things like that that cause us not to trust the government and the AMA and the FDA and drug companies. And that's what's making people go to centers like yours in droves.
Yeah.
Because they just have this real lack of trust.
Yeah,
and
there really is a sense of growing mistrust. And people will come in with their medication list and say, do you think that anything that's happening to me is from this? And I hand them a book.
I can't hear you. Can you speak up?
Pardon?
Speak up and repeat that last sentence.
Oh, I said sometimes people will come in with a list of medications and a complaint, and they say, do you think that this is caused by any of these? And so what I do is I hand them a book that explains to them what all the side effects of their medications are, and they look through that. They sit down on the couch, and they sit there and they read. Sometimes they'll read for 15 minutes and decide that they were right all along, and sometimes they'll read for 2 hours and shake their heads and say, why am I taking all this medication? And I say, that's something you're going to have to talk to your doctor about, but there's options out there. You don't have to take the medication. If the doctor says, get off it, you can get off it.
Well, we don't have time to go into what it brings up, this letter I'm going to read you that we just got from Australia, from Sue P., but we're certainly going to have you back and talk about this idea of trust. But Sue from Australia says, I am disappointed but not surprised to realize that your amazing work is being kept silent in countries such as ours. The hold of the drug companies here is frightening, considering that they fully fund the TGA, and I don't know what the TGA is, which is a governing body of drugs. One of the motivations is that my mother was given a drug, looks like stilbrosterol, when she was pregnant with me, and hence I have been through a roller coaster because of it. A drug that was in reality a placebo, but caused untold damage. Yeah. I'm extremely interested in your work. Do you know of anyone in Australia that is studying, practicing, researching? And are you able to give me any advice as to further directions to take? I'm looking forward to hearing from you and to be able to further your work within our country. Hey, Liz, you want to go to Australia and teach?
Yeah, definitely.
In a second, huh? We only have a few more minutes left. We're going to have you back. I think this has been interesting to a lot of people that want to start their own practice, and they can get in touch with you at what email address?
The email is info@ubewell.com. And that's all spelled out, YOUBEWELL.com.
And you'll help them walk through the pitfall.
Yeah.
Okay, the thought for this week, and we always leave people with a thought, try to do everything you can to the very best of your ability, or don't do it. Don't agree to do it in the first place. And that means if you agree to go to a party and then to make the person who invited you really miserable because you think they made you go, think again. That's your issue if you don't have enough guts to stand up to someone and say, I don't want to go and please don't pressure me. If you really care about me, you'd not insist that I do something I don't want to do. And if they insist, you now have proof that you are second in their needs. What comes first is what they want, and you're not that important to them. Think about it. Remember to vote in our poll. Get in touch with us about the immortality, unlimited checkbook, guaranteed health for life information. And please write to us about what you want to hear on Sound Health Radio. Until next week, this is Sherry Edwards and Liz Lonergan. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.